As we continue to look at the stories of Elijah, I've entitled the sermon, Trust God's Greatest Purpose. But to start with this, the story is told of a king in Africa who had a close friend with whom he grew up. The friend had a habit looking at every situation that occurred in his life positively and remarking, "This is good." One day, the king and his friend were out hunting, and the friend would load and prepare the guns for the king. Through his carelessness, the friend had not prepared the gun properly, and the result was when the king fired the gun, his thumb was blown off. Examining the situation, the friend said, "This is good." Obviously, the king was so furious and sent his friend to prison. A few months later, the king was out hunting in the area that he should have stayed away from, and he was caught by cannibals. They took him to their village. They tied him up to a stake, and as they came near to set fire to the wood, they noticed he was missing a thumb. Being superstitious, they never ate anyone less than whole. So untying the king, they sent him on his way. He thought about his friend and went to the jail to see him. And as he proceeded to tell his friend all that had happened, he said, "I'm sorry for sending you to prison for so long. It was bad for me to do this." "No," his friend replied, "this is good." "What do you mean, this is good? How could it be good that I sent you to prison for a year?" And his friend replied, "If I had not been in prison, I would have been with you when you were captured." Situations may not always seem pleasant while we are in them, but the promise is clear. What might seem bleak and hopeless to us, God is able and capable to transform those situations. As we look at the passage together, firstly, I want to pick up the removal of life from the sun, the removal of life from the sun. And the phrase in verse 17, it says this, "sometime later." These words introduce us to the tragic turn of events in the life of the widow, the very person to whom Elijah was sent to minister to. It was an event that affected both the widow and the prophet. That is the nature of suffering, in that it affects us all. Your suffering may not directly be mine, but God has called us to be ready to minister, to be there for one and another. What happened here was not a result of an accident, rather the purposes of the living God, who works in all things to good for those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. And the Lord knows all situations and allows them to happen. Psalm 138 and verse 8 says this, "The Lord will fulfill his purposes for me."
Hi guys, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Val.
It's just the picture is frozen. So
and my laptop's gone off.
Okay, so we're going to swap, and he can carry on, and you can just listen to it. Is that okay?
Right.
Oh, it might have happened. There you go.
All right.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Can you find another?
No, I'm fine. The phrase sometimes later. Let us not miss this. The death of the widow's son occurred after the appearance of Elijah to help the widow. And after that faith response of the woman, after the continuous supply of the flour and oil by which they were sustained, and which were symbolic of God's spiritual provision. And now suddenly her son dies. This doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't seem fair. Have you ever felt like this? Secondly, I want to pick up the reaction of the widow. It's interesting to note the definite change of attitude between verses 18 of bitterness and then verse 24 of faith and confidence. What brought about this change? It came through experiencing God in her life, in her suffering. Her reaction and words in verse 18 shows her focus and the way she was thinking. She says to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" Her attitude and her faith or relationship with God needed to be transformed. She felt guilty and thought perhaps she was to blame for the child's death. A distraught parent losing her son. Her life was shattered and devastated. Have you ever watched everything you work for, everything you loved, everything you live for crumble around you? It is a difficult place to be. Yet there are times when the Lord has allowed his children to pass through the experience of difficulties, of troubles, such as Joseph in prison, or Paul with his thorn in his flesh. He does so that we might trust him and trust him alone and for him to build our character. For months, Elijah was the honored guest in the widow's home. And as a man of God, he was the agent of deliverance, the hero of the hour. In the midst of the miracle, death comes to the widow as her son falls sick and finally passes away. In her grief, she blames Elijah and probably thinking, "What have I done to displease you or your God? What did I do to deserve this? Have I not given you shelter?" People tend to see suffering either as a product of circumstances, random, meaningless pain, or by a byproduct caused by sin. This results living in a world of guilt and fear. And yet sometimes suffering is a discipline or a consequence because we have broken the principles of Scripture. But there are many causes for suffering, not always associated with what we have chosen. Her guilt and her pain took the form of despair, anger, resentment, and blame. Pain is never wrong because Jesus himself suffered pain on our behalf on the cross. The problem comes when we allow pain to twist and to deform us and cause us to react negatively rather than to respond to what God is seeking to do in us or others. And when life takes a turn, we are not what we are expecting, rather than looking up to the Lord to draw upon his resources and to learn what he is seeking to teach us. We so often take it out on the very persons or people whom God will use to bless and to minister to our lives. Also, I notice from the passage the response of Elijah. We see this from verse 19 onwards. Why did Elijah not call on the Lord to heal the child before he died? Our need is to learn to see the problems of life and the sudden intrusions of pain in the world from the standpoint of a mighty God and his purposes within our lives and experiences. Elijah's heart had been touched by the pain of the widow, what she was experiencing. In verse 19, he says, "Give me your son." He had compassion for her heart. He knew her need was to know the Lord and to believe his word. The Jews regarded corpses as exceptionally defiling, and that's why the graves were whitened so they were easily recognizable. But Elijah was prepared to go to any length, including defiling himself, to be personally involved. And this is the same kind of compassion that Jesus touched the dead body of another widow's son. Elijah knew he was there to minister, and the Lord was in charge, in control, working his purposes. This is seen in his prayer in verse 20. The phrase, "O Lord, my God." He placed his need in God, concentrated on this woman's plight with the word Lord. He was fervently reaching out to God, the God of Israel, the God of redemption, the God of miracles, all because of Jesus for us as New Testament believers. Whatever we are facing, whatever we are experiencing, we can come to this, the living Lord, the Lord Jesus, and to bring those situations to him. Just let me illustrate. A little girl kept on bothering her father. To keep her quiet, the father gave the little girl a new jigsaw puzzle, a map of the world. He scattered the pieces on the floor. Part of Brazil fell beside Italy. A piece of Alaska laid on top of Syria. The father thought to himself, that will keep her occupied for a long time. To his amazement, she had the puzzle together in no time at all. "How did you do it?" the father asked. "Oh, it was simple," she answered. On the other side of the mixed-up world was the face of Jesus. "I put his face together, and the world came out right." And the Lord Jesus that we serve, and as we come to him, things might be difficult or hard in our lives or a real mess, but if we come to Jesus, Jesus can make that difference. Elijah was acting on his own, out of his own personal relationship with the Lord, by trusting in the power and of God's character. Now, I want you to notice the request of the prophet in verse 21. Elijah takes action and goes to the Lord with his need. But what was he to do? The boy was dead. He was dead. And no one had been raised from the dead before. This was that tremendous faith that he knew. Nothing was impossible. Was impossible with the living Lord. And in verse 20, it says, then he cried out to the Lord, Lord, my God, have you brought this tragedy even on this widow I'm staying with by causing her son to die? Perhaps it was his faith, his willingness to identify himself with the loss and the grief of his child. Then Elijah covered the child's body with his own. Why did he stretch himself over the child three times? And some commentators suggest that he did so if to say to God, let my life, my breath be given to him. Take me rather than him. As verse 21 says, three times he cried to the Lord. Repeating this request reminds us that it is the persistence in prayer that often leads answers to our prayers. And finally, the miracle realized in verse 23. Look, your son is alive. That the God of Israel is not only the true and the mighty God in which all things are possible, he is also the loving, the forgiving, and the merciful God. Every day, the widow looking at the boy, she would have been reminded of the power and the truth of God's living word. God isn't just a provider of things. He is the Lord of life and death, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life and that tremendous hope that we have in him. And when Elijah and the widow first met, she referred to the Lord your God. She was prepared to acknowledge his existence, but had no personal experience of him. Now, that's all changed. For she sees the truth, and the truth has been modeled by the prophet Elijah. Those who rub shoulders with the people of God run the risk of being changed forever. Today, in the crisis, do we trust God's greatest purpose and seek his perfect will? Even with God's faithful provision in our lives, there can be challenging circumstances. Whatever it is that you are facing today, you can choose to bring it before the Lord and trust him to see you over it, around it, and through it. Just like the widow placed the burden of her dead son in the arms of Elijah, you can choose to place your burden this morning in his outstretched arms of Jesus. Amen.